Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
Big Booty is my kryptonite.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Jacob Albrecht on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, into hour number two. We start with college basketball. That means Wichita State Shockers fall to 9-7, 0-4 in the conference, with a 61-57 loss to Cincinnati, which you give credit to, right, Jacob? I mean, Cincinnati came in with purpose, 12-5 coming in, 2-2 in the conference. They'd had some success. They were good defensively, played well within themselves, and won a hard-earned basketball game that I thought was interesting for Wichita State in that if we have been, and I'm going to say we, I have been talking about a bit of a disconnect between team and coaches, understanding the plan, enacting the plan, doing the things necessary to win a basketball game. Here's the stat that's most interesting. 3-for-10. Wichita State was 3-for-10 from three-point range. Not the fact that they only hit three of the 10. That's what they always do. But they only took 10 three-pointers. So there was a plan in place. They tried to work the plan. They didn't shoot well. That shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. This is kind of who Wichita State is. But from a weird, really maybe reaching or grasping for straws perspective, was this a more connected effort by Wichita State, even in losing 61-57, than we had seen previously where, what, they had 30 three-pointers in the game before against Tulane, and it, to a large degree, led to their loss. So I'm not sure what the hell to make of Wichita State right now. I know that Bill Parcells always said, you are what your record says you are, and the Shockers are off to an 0-4 start in the American Athletic.
Yeah, and I think you're right, because the defensive effort was fantastic yesterday.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, they played well defensively,
Dex held their,
no question.
Dex held Cincinnati's best player, one of the best in the league, down to next to nothing. Like, they didn't have enough offense, but I'm not sure there's enough offense to have.
Right.
So, I don't know. You know, that's the thing. When I said I thought they'd finish third in the league, I mean, that's obviously still on the table. They're not playing to a level that makes you real confident in a statement like that now. But, you know, I don't know what to take from it, because they were certainly in a position to win the last two games that they played.
Yep.
I don't know that you ever felt like they were in a position to beat Memphis or Houston, but they were in position to beat both Tulane and Cincinnati. They both came at home, so that's tough.
That hurts.
But you got a chance, you know, you got a chance this week to go on the road twice and to turn it around. I've never felt like everybody wasn't bought in, like that there was some, and I'm trying to think of like when there was the year that Wichita State, and they had all those talented freshmen, and it would have been not last year, but the year before that. Yes. And that team at a point did not feel connected. Like that team felt, it just felt like disarray. I haven't felt that from this team. I don't think that's a problem for this team. I still don't. I think the reality of the situation is so much was offensively put on the return of Tyson Etienne. And, you know, again, at the time, rightfully so. But as he hasn't been the same level of player as we saw last year and a couple of times this year, consistently, it's hurt the offense. And the offense just isn't, you know, this isn't a good offense.
No.
It can be a great defense, though. And it was a great defense against Cincinnati. We saw it earlier in the year be a great defense just about every game it played. So if it can, if this team can get to playing that level of defense, then that's going to have to be the identity, because I'm not sure that the offense is there. I know they sure missed Craig Porter yesterday.
Boy, isn't that the truth,
and I still
right?
want to know if he could be the catalyst offensively. But, you know, he didn't get to play yesterday, so we don't know. Hopefully he can come back very quickly. And, you know, Bruce, sometimes for a team, getting on the road isn't a bad thing.
No,
I'm not
you're
so
right.
sure that spending a week on the road won't be a good thing for this team to do. And in college basketball, that's a crazy thing to say, because winning at home is so much easier than winning on the road statistically. But for a team that, you know, kind of just feels the weight of the world, which I can't imagine this team doesn't, it might be good to get away for a little bit. Just get away, turn off your cell phones, don't pay attention to anything else but the game plan and beating Temple on Wednesday. And if you can beat Temple on Wednesday, that snaps what's going on right now at least. And then maybe you can roll something into it. They're 0-4,
right?
Which sucks, but, you know, I don't. It's a college basketball season, and I don't know why we're, because I'm doing it too. Like at some point, I'm putting too much pressure on, like the right now in the totality of things, and I get why I'm doing it, because we're seeing them not play well offensively and not adjust and figure it out. But, you know, they've only played 4 conference games, right? If you don't think that they're going to catch Houston, and I don't think most people do, SMU's the next best in the league right now at 4-1, a team they still play twice. And they play everybody at least one more time. Like, nothing is out of the realm right now, as long as they don't panic and they keep trying to figure it out. Losing is never good. Like they're playing poorly right now. I get it. But at least they defended back to the level we've seen them defend yesterday. And if they can keep doing that, they're going to win games. You know, if they play that level of defense that they played against Cincinnati yesterday, such an odd game too, because they didn't turn it over a ton, right?
No.
They didn't turn
right.
it over
won
a ton.
Won the battle of the boards. Yep.
They won the battle of the boards by 7 rebounds. The offensive rebounds were great. This team is just offensively challenged. And, you know, they clearly, early in the game, I thought the ball movement around the perimeter was something different.
Yes. They had a better offensive plan. When Mo Udazy goes 4-15,
yeah,
that's an issue.
He's got to stop putting the ball on the ground, man. Just go up, Mo. Just go up.
Yeah.
Stop dribbling.
Don't get that. It's like, you know, and that's kind of a basketball 101. Don't put the ball on the floor in traffic.
Down there. Yeah.
No.
So I don't know.
Anyway.
And you know, Tyson Etienne was not, he was okay. He was okay yesterday. But I thought Dex had a great game. That look, by the way, the look at the end of the game was a good look. His look late. I was totally fine with that. I thought they drew up a nice play to get him the shot. He just didn't hit it.
Yep.
And at some point, like that's the thing. And I know everybody wants to look to the coaching staff, and obviously they take some of the blame, or maybe most of the blame. But at some point, players have got to hit shots.
Yeah.
And players aren't hitting shots, especially open looks. I mean, the Shockers, go look at our friend Taylor Eldridge. He runs out the video all the time. They miss open shots. And I don't know what else you're supposed to do as a coaching staff except get guys in position to have open shots.
It's all you can do, right?
They've got to hit shots.
Yeah.
They've got to make shots. That's it. Everybody wants to, like, oh, my gosh, what? No. Number one thing for the Shockers right now, make shots. That's it. Like, that's the cure to what ails them. Make shots. And nobody can do that except the players on the floor. And, of course, they know that. And it gets harder to make shots when you're in a stretch like this. So, get on the road. Just erase everything from memory. Right now, to me, if I'm Isaac Brown on that staff, we start the season right now. Everything else is done. We're done. We're 0-0. What can we do down the stretch here? We're 0-0. How do we finish?
To your point, and it's a good one, and let's accentuate it, their best moments have been away from the roundhouse. Clearly, it's not even close. Yeah. Arizona, the near miss against Arizona, was away from the roundhouse. The win at Missouri, the win at Oklahoma State, two high points of the season. Even the game against Houston on the road, where I thought they were really competitive, against a team that at the end that had more than them. And you expect that from a team that's in the top 15 in the country. But Wichita State was competitive. They played hard. I thought they played pretty well in that game. So you can make an argument that three or four of their best moments this season have come away from the roundhouse. I'm trying to think of one thing that's happened in the roundhouse with this team so far this year that you just absolutely love. I mean Prairie View, you knew they were
offensively against Prairie View. Yeah.
That's it, right? I mean, Jacksonville, South Alabama, were games that you
closer than we thought they should.
Close games that you had to sweat. They haven't had a moment in the roundhouse this year. What are they, 5-4? I don't even know what their record is at home. Are they 5-4 at home now?
6-5 at home, 2-away.
6-5 at home. This has not been a good team at home. Their better efforts, or their more memorable efforts to this point, have come on the road. Okay. So you're on the road this week. Let's go.
The problem now SMU. For Wichita State is they're now in a position. They've slid. They just keep sliding down the net. They're at 93 today.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So the path for them now almost certainly has to be through a conference tournament win. Does that add pressure or does that relieve pressure? I don't know. But it makes, it gets to that point where they're not going to play enough good games now to move skyrocket up in the net because, Houston's way up in the net, right? Houston's all the way up there at number 4. The next highest team in the net is Cincinnati at 59.
Mm.
So there's just not going to be enough really good games for them. They're going to get some quad one games as they play Cincinnati on the road, Memphis on the road, SMU on the road, maybe UCF on the road, but UCF's kind of struggling now too. So probably those three and then Houston back at home. But I don't think that's going to be enough now.
No.
So I don't know if that helps or hurts or if they can just really let it go and just start from scratch and be better. It's going to be tricky to keep everybody bought in. I think everybody has remained bought in. I haven't feared that yet. And I did not listen to the post game yesterday because of the football we were paying attention to. So I didn't, as soon as the game was over, I just flipped over to football and went football the rest of the way. So I haven't gone back through the post game. I don't know what the vibe of the post game was. But I don't think, you know, it doesn't feel like the locker room's lost by any means.
No.
So
I think I think there was a buy-in to the game plan yesterday, and all you have to look at is 10 three-pointers. I mean, I think it's that's not who this team is. This team loves to fire it. And that ends up being...
And 10's probably too, yeah. And 10's probably too few, but that was a buy-in to only take 10. And I agree with you. I don't think we'll see them take that few again, because 10's probably too few. Again, at some point, you got to just make open shots. I'm not sure. I don't, you know, doesn't matter what the game plan is. If you can't make open shots, you're just not going to win. And there's nothing anybody can do except the guys just, you know, snap the slump and start making some shots. When this team does shoot well, like in spurts, when we see them, like we did at the beginning of the Tulane game, shoot it just pretty, like even pretty good.
Good looking team.
They stretch those leads out quick because of the way they can defend. And they've got to defend. And they did defend against Cincinnati really, really well. That's where you're reminded of, like, oh, yeah, that's why we kind of liked this team early in the year. Like, we thought they were really going to make some noise. So that's priority one, is defend like you did against Cincinnati. Because then even if you never find your offense, you're going to be in all the games you play because you've defended at that level.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the rest of the schedule. It's tough to put your finger on some wins. It really is.
They'll get wins. They're going to get
wins.
It's tough. It's tough that those last two came at home. That's what hurts so bad. Because as you try to like predict out a conference schedule, you look at, you know, you just sort of assume wins at home.
Well, there's no assumption of that anymore. Right.
No, and you can't. We weren't going to be able to assume that against Houston and Memphis. But everywhere else, you assume winning most of those games. That's what makes this challenging, is that three of the four conference losses now have come in home game. They're 0-3 in the conference at home. Man, that never happens. That's pretty wild. So it's on the players on the court, man. They got to hit some shots. If they can't hit shots, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know.
Well, next up, Wednesday in Philadelphia against Temple, and then Sunday in Dallas against SMU. Two road challenges for Wichita State this weekend, and games that I think probably, Jacob, they will be underdogs in both games. Even the Temple
game.
They'll
be underdogs against Cincinnati. I mean, against SMU for sure. I'm curious about. I don't know about the Temple game.
Temple's at 10-6 right now, and
they have. I know they have at least one pretty good conference win. Who was it? Oh, it's at UCF.
They beat UCF on the road. They've won three straight on the road now, and. And lost at home to Houston by 5. It's not a bad team. And right now, I don't think Wichita State's a good team right now at this moment.
No.
Right? Okay.
Nope, they're not. They're not a good team. But I feel much better about the way they play defense, at least. Get back to that. That's going to have to be their identity. I'm not sure that they're just going to ever have a stretch where they come out and hit a bunch of shots. I don't think it's there.
Big 12 basketball, K-State with a huge win, KU the same. Crazy weekend in the Big 12. Every night, every afternoon they play, something happens that makes you go, huh? Oklahoma State going on the road and whipping Baylor? What? Okay, we'll make sense of it, or try to anyway, as we continue here in a moment. OTD coming up in about 20 minutes as well, as we roll through this Monday edition. All Brock and Ertl with you. Max Power is running the show. Sports Daily on the Sports Station, KFH.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
97.5 and 1240 KFH, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
How about K-State? Their win over Texas Tech. Now, Texas Tech had had a hell of a week, don't get me wrong. And it's tough to go into Manhattan because Kansas State is capable. And they have a history under Bruce Weber of winning games just like the one they won over the weekend. But good for Kansas State. They took a nice step up the stairs to win that game against Texas Tech, a team that had been playing extremely well, but maybe ran out of just a little bit of gas after two high-octane wins.
That was a tall order for Tech.
Yeah, it was.
That was a tall order for Tech.
I agree.
I think Kansas State, gosh dang, if they could have found a way to get any of those games when they were dealing with their COVID issues, I'm telling you, Kansas State just on the floor. I think they're good. I think they're a good team. And, you know, they've got work to do. They've got an uphill climb. And I know K-State fans are very frustrated with the way things went over that two or three game stretch there. But, look, their losses are all to almost all. I mean, I'm pretty sure just off, you know, off memory, all of their losses are to good teams, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Marquette is okay, but they lost to Texas in a game that was much closer than the margin, right? The final margin. TCU's right. Not a good loss. TCU they should have beat.
That's the one you wish you had back, right?
Yeah.
Right.
TCU they should. Well, they should have probably beat West Virginia, and they could have beat Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
They had Texas on the ropes, and TCU's the one that you're really annoyed with. But what's interesting to me about this team is they so publicly after, you know, a loss went to the defense of Bruce Weber and was like, you guys got to like, this is on us, man. Like, don't. So we've seen, you know, there was the team that Bruce Weber lost the locker room on the, you know, a while back now. It's been a while ago. But this team's bought in, and they're talented. Yeah. And Marquise Noel now has become a revelation along with Nigel Pack. And, you know, they just need to get something from their bigs. But here they go. They got there all of a sudden. It's right back to Austin to play Texas again, and then Kansas, and then Baylor. And then you get the Ole Miss break in the conference schedule. But their next three games, at Texas, host Kansas, in Waco. That's a tough – you want to talk about a tough stretch?
That's this league, man. That's this league.
It's this you league. Can, but, you know, yep. Don't you feel good if they get one of those? And I know
oh my
if
God,
they get one,
absolutely.
What does that even put them at? What, that would put them at 2-6 in
two
the league,
six.
I think.
Yes.
But you'd feel good about it. But you'd be like, all right, yes. They got one out of there. So that's this league, and this league is wild. And, you know, their uphill climb, it'll be frustrating because their uphill climb to the tournament is going to be much harder. You know, if they win the games they should have won, we think they should have beat West Virginia. They probably, we'll say, could have. But let's say Oklahoma and TCU, like that's right when you had your COVID issues kind of just smack you. And Texas was in there too. West Virginia and Oklahoma a little bit less. But, man, like you'd be sitting there and you'd feel like this would be a tournament team, right? You'd be like, all right, they got all the wins they needed to get. But now they're going to have to go get some that they won't be expected to get. And that'll be tricky, and that'll be tough. And, you know, again, what is it? What this year, out of the 10, how many is the Big 12 sending? I think 8 is a possibility.
Wow.
But you've got to think of it as – but you've got to think about it as 7. You have to think about it as 7. And if it's 7, you know who's in 7th place right now?
Well, who are the odd men out then? K-State.
Well, that's the way you have to think about it. Who are you going to beat out?
Right.
Oklahoma State's not going to get in regardless of where they finish, right? Because of the NCAA stuff. But right now, Iowa State's in 7th. Iowa State's in 7th. Now, TCU's in 2nd, and that won't last. So you really, like, if you really look at it realistically, you've got to be better than TCU, and then it's West Virginia and Oklahoma that you look at as the other two. Right, and so
and
if
the problem
you finish
is
ahead
you've
of those
already
three,
lost games to each one of them.
Yep,
that's the problem.
That's what's going to make this. That's what's going to make this really tough for Kansas State, because now they're going to have to go win games. They did it against Tech. Credit to them, right? Mm-hmm. They got one against Tech right there. Now they had a little advantageous scheduling glitch, but they deserved one. Karma owed them one, right? Because of the COVID stuff.
Agreed.
That they were
Agreed.
Dealing with. So okay. Can they go to Austin and beat Texas? Sure they can. Can they beat Kansas at home? Maybe. Can they go to Waco and beat Baylor? I mean, we've seen some teams beat Baylor.
That's happened
Baylor
twice in a row. Baylor's like, lost at home.
Like they're beatable. So it's all going to be there. I don't think they're ever going to be so overmatched in a game that you don't see the possibility of them winning that game. And that'll make the rest of their season really fun to watch. I don't know if they'll make it. I don't know if they'll make it. They may because of the, you know, the timing of that and the losses, those early, I don't know. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But I do think every game they play will be a fun game to watch the rest of the way. And at least there's
tumult,
that. And it,
the tumult of the weekend with Oklahoma State going in and beating Baylor and Kansas State winning at home against Texas Tech. Iowa State beats Texas. Although that was... I mean, that's two nationally ranked teams. But the one team that kind of sneaks through unscathed, KU. 85-59, winning impressive fashion, flexed, did their thing. Got 23 big points from Jalen Wilson, who was fantastic, by the way. Just fantastic. Rebounded it, distributed it. He was the best player on the floor. And Kansas wins in kind of, well, they win in a fashion that that no one else could win, like, in the Big 12 the rest of the way, anywhere on the schedule. Kansas just kind of flexed. And so they've got that early loss at Texas Tech, but when you look at the top of the standings, who's there? Kansas.
Is still, to me...
Right.
Final Four good. There is not a team in the country right now that scares me if I'm Kansas thinking about getting back to a Final Four. There's not a team that scares me that you can convince me is better head and shoulders than Kansas as far as winning a national title. Kansas will be playing against Kansas to a large degree the rest of the way to determine how much better they can get. And when they're going at their peak, they're as good or better than anybody in the country. So can they reach that peak? I think at times they have. And I think they're kind of, I think they're evolving a little bit defensively right now, which is a good thing. I think Jalen Wilson's resurgence, and maybe it takes some time, but boy, that's the thing. If he comes back and gets back to the level he was at last year with all the firepower they added, with the evolution of Christian Brown's game, with Ochai Agbaji looking like he is a lottery pick, like all those things come together, and look out, because Kansas will be right there to win a national title this year. I mean, there's not a team, there's no team right now.
No.
If you're Kansas that you look at and be like, oh man, they're going to, we can't get through that buzzsaw.
No, I would agree. I would agree. And I think that that holds in the Big 12 and it holds nationally. There's no one that Kansas can't beat.
Correct.
Now, the five spot continues to be a bit of a quandary, but that's something that Bill Self will continue to work on. I think a bigger thing right now is just reaching a defensive identity. What can we count on night in and night out? Because we know we have firepower. And my God, Kansas has firepower. You know that that's going to be realistic every night that they can score or outscore an opponent. But can you really defend? Can you really defend in games where, say, a Baylor or a Texas Tech, these teams that really can defend you and will defend you, take things away from you? Can you play the same kind of, can you match them with defensive intensity? I think that's a big question right now for Bill Self, and I think it'll continue to be a big focus for Bill Self. I thought they were really, I mean, West Virginia didn't shoot it worth a damn, but that's partly because of what Kansas was doing to them. So you give credit where it's due. Everyone always looks at the big number behind KU because they score so well. But I would imagine that if you got truth serum from Bill Self right now, that would be his question. What are we going to get out of David McCormick? And can we figure out a defensive identity that we can trust night in and night out? Because I think if the answer to that is yes, then I think Kansas is, I'm with you, I think Kansas is in a position to win any game they play. Any game they play.
Who would you take right now? Roster to roster, team to team, coach to everything. Baylor or Kansas?
Kansas, but not by a bunch.
Yeah, they're pretty different teams, but I would too. Yep.
I would not by a bunch.
They're going to, and I think that they can, and I think that they will, because Kansas teams always do. I think that they'll get better defensively all through the year. Bill Self teams always do that, right? They always do that. They always get really good defensively by the end of the year. And I just think there is so much offensive firepower on that team. It is crazy how much firepower that team has. That, you know, we're in a position for Kansas to be able to kind of do the things we all, you know, dreamed of them doing at the beginning of the year, which is just have so many options to score. So many different ways to do. Remember, it was like, how's Bill Self going to get all these guys minutes and get all these guys the ball? Well, now that we're seeing it play out, I think the answer is it's a different guy every night. You know, Ochai is your consistent guy, right? Like he's the alpha dog, and then it just kind of comes from wherever else the game presents itself to come from. But if they'll defend the way that we've seen Kansas teams defend in the past, I think they're probably better than Baylor. But we'll see. Baylor's really good. Baylor's really good.
And that's discounting Texas Tech, and I am loath to do that because I think Texas Tech is very real.
I love Texas Tech, but talent to talent, they're not there with Baylor or Kansas. I think that's fair. I think that's just it's a fair statement, but that doesn't take anything away from Tech's ability to defend like crazy and win games.
No. And I would think that probably Bill Self. And I'll be interested. Well, of course, they'll have a game down at Norman on Tuesday. So we'll see how things go down there. But you know what? They gave up what? 60? What did they give up in the Iowa State game? Was it 62-61 that they ended up winning by? Something like that.
Kansas?
It was a one-point game. Yeah.
It was... Where'd that go? I just had it. Yeah, 62-61.
Yeah, so they gave up 61-59 in two wins last week.
Yep.
That's not bad.
It's hard to imagine beating Kansas when they defend that way. They gave up 75 to Tech, right? Like, you know what I mean? But if they're in that low 60 range, it's hard to imagine that offense doing like against Iowa State. It's hard to imagine them at 62. It's much easier to imagine them at 76, 75. You know what I mean? So that's why if they defend that way, they're going to be so hard to beat because that offense is too good to be held down significantly very often, if at all.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, I really liked Kansas the other day. That was an impressive win over, and West Virginia, I mean, Kansas took them out. I mean, it was tight through the first half, but early in the second, man, they just imposed their will. And that thing was over. And Jalen Wilson was just fantastic. And I thought David McCormick was good, too. You talk about efficient, 9 of 13. He was better than good. He was damn good.
Just be good defensively, at least. At least be that.
Well, gave him 19-15. That's pretty good. That's pretty good return on your investment. So, pretty solid. Pretty solid effort, especially for a rotation that was basically a five-man rotation. You had five guys carrying most of the weight in a game that was really never in doubt. So there you go. Let's get to a little OTD. It happened on this day in sports history over the years. 1971 on this January 17th, 1971, Super Bowl V was played. Colts beat the Cowboys 16-13 in a game that was unique. Chuck Howley of the losing Cowboys named game MVP. The only time it's happened in Super Bowl history. There you go. 1988, AFC Championship. Sorry about that. AFC Championship in 88. Denver beats Cleveland 38-33. So what, you say? Well, you're right. Except that was Ernest Biner fumbling at the Denver 3-yard line with 1:12 left in the game to take the lead in a game that simply is now known as the fumble. In a year after the game that was simply decided by what is now called the drive. 2 years in a row, in the waning seconds, John Elway beats Marty Schottenheimer, Broncos over the Browns in the AFC Championship. The fumble happened on this day in 1988. And in 1995, the Rams announced their move to St. Louis, where they would play for the next 20 years. They gave us the greatest show on turf. They gave us a Super Bowl championship in 1999. They gave us three division championships, 99, 2001, 2003. They gave us Dick Vermeil, shedding a tear. They gave us some damn good moments. And then, of course, very unceremoniously, Stan Kroenke moved them back to Los Angeles. Will we even remember the St. Louis Rams? I guess you have to, because they won a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. Well, the greatest show on turf was, it was more than 1 year.
Yeah, it was.
It was pretty revolutionary. And think about the Hall of Famers on the field, right? There were, you know, there were three Hall of Famers leading that offense. Well, one that'll be in the Hall of Fame soon enough, but Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, and Torrey Holt. Come on now. And Torrey Holt, at that time, wasn't even the best receiver on the team. At the very beginning of it, Isaac Bruce was. That team was loaded.
There were eight different head coaches during the 20 years that they played in St. Louis.
Wow.
And if you had asked me to name them, I think I might have gotten... I would have gotten Vermeil and Mike Martz and probably Jeff Fisher. But Rich Brooks was head coach when they went there. Joe Vitt for a year. Scott Linehan from 2006 to 2008. Jim Haslett from 2008. And then here's the interesting one. Steve Spagnuolo was the head coach from 2009 to 2011. He's busy now doing other things, isn't he?
Spags.
Spags is going to come up big for the Chiefs to get back to the Super Bowl. Not just this week.
Yes, he does.
He's got 2 weeks in a row where he's going to have significant challenges against really damaging offenses. I'm just really, really interested to see how it all plays out. There you go. OTD on this day in sports, January 17th. It's that simple. All right, so what did we learn today? We learned that the Chiefs are facing three teams now remaining in the AFC playoffs that have beaten them. That's an odd dynamic. Really strange that they're 0-3 against the remaining teams in the AFC. I think that we've come away with the thought that Green Bay and Tampa, nothing much changes. 1-2, 2-1, whatever order. We give San Francisco a slight chance in the game against Green Bay. Maybe you give Arizona or LA a chance in a game against Tampa. I don't know. That game will play out tonight, and then we'll see how it goes. But I think Tampa's got a really good shot to go back to Green Bay and reprise the NFC. I really do.
I'm not sure that I don't favor Tampa the rest of the way in the NFC, but I do think every team still alive in the playoffs has a chance to win any game that they play, and that's what you want. And really, the entire postseason, you know, the only two teams that there were three, I suppose, if you include the Raiders, but the Eagles and the Steelers, the state of Pennsylvania, that was really the only place you looked and said, no chance.
Right.
And the Raiders, I don't feel like we that gave much of a chance. So outside of those, everybody in it was good. I mean, and games, just remember how close the Niners and Cowboys game was. And likely how close tonight's game will be. And that's probably a lot of what we'll see next week.
Three hosts, by the way, 3-2 so far through the five games that have been played. Who do we all have tonight? Do we have Arizona tonight?
That's who I have.
Can't even remember who we picked. I think, well, we all picked the same things across the board.
Okay. Yeah, it's Arizona.
So it's Arizona. We all have
that's
Arizona
right. We picked every game tonight the same way.
Yes. Man. Every game.
I knew better than that with the Steelers.
Yes, me too. Even when they got up 7-0, I was sitting there thinking, wait a minute, 13 and a half? I needed 23 and a half to make this pick.
I know.
Dumb.
I know.
Dumb. Just dumb.
But the problem with 13 and a half is it's so easy to backdoor 13 and a half.
Yeah, it is. And it's not like the Steelers weren't scoring. They scored 21 points last night. I think that you like their chances. No, if you'd have told me the Steelers were going to score 21, you would have taken the points. Hell, we took the points anyway, and we didn't think the Steelers might score 21. Good Lord. Oh, well. We'll have an accounting for that on Friday. All right. Closing thoughts in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.